This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by Cornell University's Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science here at the New York State College of Agriculture and Life Sciences at Cornell University, and the following are observations and recommendations for the week of September 7th, 2009. Ideal growing conditions will persist this week. These conditions are good times to consider your important nitrogen fertility for recovery and preparation for overwintering. Consider moderate nitrogen rates at a half to three quarters of a pound per thousand square feet to avoid promoting lush growth. Lawn reports indicating bentgrass that's still struggling and widespread problems with Microstegium or Japanese stiltgrass. And we'll be sure to review that with our UMass weed specialist, Randy Prostak. Also, new research from the University of Kentucky states that dragging fairways for dollar spot control may not be needed if mowing regularly. And finally, with all the questions about renovation, how about considering induced maintenance when planning on choosing grasses to plant? The weather from last week that indicated it was a pleasant but cool week with areas 3 to 5 degrees below normal. So far with degree days, the season is still 7 to 14 days behind last year, north of central New Jersey, 3 to 7 days behind to the south of central New Jersey. Northern areas or north of New York City is running 3 to 7 days behind normal. To the south, accumulation is around normal. Rainfall, we got less than 1 inch of rainfall west of Ithaca to Harrisburg, 1 to 2 inches to the east of this line, with 3 plus inches, particularly on the Cape. Some 1 inch plus totals on Long Island. Evapotranspiration was about 3 quarters of an inch for the week north and 1 inch to the south. Soil temperatures at a 2 inch depth, 70 degrees for high temperatures and in the low to mid 60s for low temperatures. This week's weather forecast, calling for a large high-pressure system to stall over the region, dry and no rain until the middle of next week, at least. Temperatures slightly warmer than normal during the day, mid-70s to low to mid-80s, and near normal at night, mid-50s to mid-60s. Long-term models call for a warming trend as high as the high slides off the coast with an increased risk of rain to the south. And with the drier conditions, there'll be much lower risk with dry weather this week, except for dollar spot that could still be a problem with the high morning dew levels. The Cornell Cooperative Extension update begins with Walt Nelson's report from the Finger Lakes. It was mostly quiet with good growing conditions, some dollar spot around, and many calls concerning renovation at this time. Some might be willing to consider reducing mowing with the use of fine fescues. The Westchester report from Jerry Giordano and Rick Harper. Many bentgrass lawns or patches in lawns are still struggling, mostly from take-all patch, but also many have dollar spot. A sample of zoysia grass was brought into the lab, and it was not doing well. Zoysia grass is very susceptible to chinch bugs. However, this was not confirmed on this sample. The Long Island report from Tom Kowalsik, indicating variable rain was received on the east end of Long Island, which was odd with Hurricane Danny moving up the coast. It was expected to be worse as Cape Cod received more than 3 inches of rain. The cool temps and recent rains has reduced the need for lawn irrigation. There seems to be significant increase in earthworm activity, and many lawns are now noticing they are mostly crabgrass that will be setting seed and then going dormant soon. The Capital District from Dave Chinnery. Many questions about renovation and reseeding damaged lawn areas. Most are looking for quick cover. A report from a lawn care professional that a lawn was infected with fungus gnat larvae, and this was causing damage to the lawn. Another lawn sample from an over-irrigated lawn was infected with brown patch. And the Adirondack report from Emily Selleck indicates that questions are coming in about lawn renovation as weather seems to be turning in favor of new grass growth. Also, reports of mold damage. The weed update this week from Randy Prostak, Extension Weed Specialist with the University of Massachusetts, focuses on Japanese stiltgrass, Microstegium viminium, is a shade-tolerant annual C4 grass. It's a straggling plant, usually 36 inches in height, and reclining stems can grow up to 40 inches long. Its stems are typically branched, rooting at the lower nodes, and the nodes and internodes are small and smooth and hairless. The long, narrow blades are 2 to 4 inches long, sparsely hairy on both sides, and distinctly tapered at both ends. The ligules are membranous and are about a half to 2 millimeters long. Microstegium viminium is native to India and Japan. It possesses characteristics typical of many invasive species. It grows quickly, fruits within a single season, produces abundant seed, and easily invade habitats that have been disturbed by natural and anthropogenic mowing and tilling sources. It is locally abundant, able to displace native wetland and forest understory vegetation with its dense, expanding monospecific patches. It is usually found under moderate to dense shade in moist conditions, but it does not persist in areas with periodic standing water nor in full sunlight. The management of this particular weed calls for manual or mechanical techniques may be the best method for controlling, since it is a shallow-rooted annual. Hand-pulling, however, is extremely labor-intensive and is only feasible for small infestations and will need to be repeated and continued at least 7 years to exhaust the seed supply in the seed bank. Mowing may be an effective control method if carried out in late summer when the plants are in peak bloom but before seed is produced. For extension infestations where mechanical methods are not practical, systemic herbicides such as imazimeth or plateau, or glyphosate, Roundup, or Rodeo in wetland sites, or grass-specific herbicides like Phenoxaprop or Cethoxadim, Vantage or Post. The next spring, typical pre-emergent herbicides for crabgrass will provide season-long control. The Sports Turf Report from Joanne Grudadorio talks about fall coring. If the soil is not compacted, coring will actually negatively impact soil physical properties. The purpose of aerification is to reduce soil bulk density and improve air porosity and water infiltration, and is best done when soil temperatures are in the mid-60s. Aerify fields when the turf is actively growing and environmental stresses are low so the turf can recover from the coring. Initially, coring injures roots, and when the soil is dry, it is likely to cause even more root damage. Over the long run, roots will recover and benefit from coring. Now will be seen later in the fall or next spring. When fields are in use, solid tine coring is often performed because it minimizes surface disruption. Keep in mind that it is not as effective as hollow tine coring in improving soil physical properties, but does provide greater soil strength. Hollow tine coring will do a better job of reducing soil bulk density, improving water infiltration and air porosity, but can bring more poa seeds to the surface. If annual bluegrass is a concern, then use solid tines. No matter which aerification method you use, remember that the size and spacing of the tine influences the area of impact. For example, half-inch tine spaced on 2-inch centers will impact only 5% of the surface, whereas 5/8 inch tines spaced on 1-inch by 2-inch centers will impact about 15% of the surface. Ideally, coring should impact about 8 to 10% of the turf surface, which is about 10 to 15 holes per square foot. Also, it's best to vary the depth of coring to minimize the chance of developing cultivation pan layer right below the depth of coring. My Gazing in the Grass report for this week begins by dragging fairways does not improve dollar spot control. For many years, based on University of Kentucky research conducted in the 1990s, dew removal has been considered essential for reducing dollar spot problems. At this time of year, with intense dollar spot pressure, many golf course superintendents drag fairways on days they don't mow to reduce dew issues. Recent research by SUNY Cobleskill's Alex Elram has shown consistently that mowing for dew removal is the vital practice for reducing dollar spot. A more recent study conducted at Kentucky looked at mowing and dragging fairways to provide further dollar spot reduction. Interestingly, they concluded that there was not added benefit to dragging fairways on days you did not mow for reducing dollar spot control. They mowed fairways 3 days per week. So, dragging fairways at sunrise in order to reduce disease pressure is not beneficial if one is already mowing at sunrise 3 days per week. Rust management. For those of you with problems with rust in your turf right now, maintaining a healthy and vigorous turf stand is the most effective and efficient method of rust control. Since slow-growing turf in late summer is most vulnerable to outbreaks, small amounts of nitrogen fertilizer, quarter to a half pound of N per thousand, in chronic trouble spots, shaded and possibly compacted areas, will help control the disease. The nitrogen will promote leaf growth and allow for regular mowing, which helps the turf outgrow rust's relatively slow infection cycle. Avoiding irrigation during the early evening will also help limit disease spread by lessening the chance of extended dew periods. DMI or QOI, stubble urine fungicides, are very effective against rust, but on well-established turf should be considered only as a remedial treatment when cultural practices fail to prevent an outbreak. On newly seeded stands, fungicides should be applied at the first sign of disease. In most cases, a single application of an effective fungicide combined with efforts to reduce turf growth will quell outbreaks. Encourage turf growth will quell outbreaks. Turf renovation with reduced maintenance in mind. Many turf areas are in need of some form of renovation following a wet, then hot summer. Most are looking for quick cover and just want it to look good. As typically, many are just done with their lawns. Now is the time to consider planting fine leaf fescue blends in areas with little traffic to reduce mowing requirements, improve shade tolerance, and possibly reduce weed invasion. Fescue varieties such as Wilma, Sandpiper, Rescue 911, Reliant 2, and Oxford all have been shown to have allelopathic properties that will reduce weed invasion. In addition, sheep fescue variety Quattro, blended with hard fescues, will establish quickly and reduce overall mowing needs. Thank you for joining me this week for the Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information from Cornell University. I'm Frank Rossi, Associate Professor of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.